Yes, Lord, that's our declaration this morning, that you reign. You reign, Holy Ghost. You reign over our city. You reign over our nation, oh God. We make that declaration this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you reign. You reign. You reign. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We bless you this morning, Jesus. We declare that you reign over my circumstance, over my family, my children. We declare it this morning, Lord God. We say, hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord, you're awesome, amazing God. Come on, church, let it come out of your mouth this morning. Don't let it hide inside of you. Let it come out of your mouth. Come on, declare that our God reigns. Declare it over your circumstance, over your situation. Declare the word of God. Speak the word of God over your city, over your nation, over your families, your children. We declare our God reigns. Seed has been planted, and that seed will grow and take fruit. It will bring fruit. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just dismiss the kids now. They can go to their class. We declare, Lord, you are God. You're amazing, awesome God. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. There's one more blessing I've been waiting to hear from Loretta. She has a blessing. Are you going to share your blessing or are you going to make me? She's retired. That's pretty amazing. Hallelujah. All right, so she's got a destiny before her that's a little different than it was before when you worked every day. A new phase, that's right, new season. Amen, amen. All right, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We say that your word will change our lives, Father. We say that we will hear your word and that we will receive it into our spirit, into our soul, our minds, Father God, this morning. And we thank you that no word spoken by you is without power. And so we receive the power of your word this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. So last week we talked about forgiveness. Did you have opportunity to practice forgiveness this week? And that's what happens whenever you are exposed to something in the Word, then the enemy comes and tries to steal that away from you, tries to tell you that things don't work, and hopefully we will listen and we obey to God. Amen? Amen. I remember a long time ago, over 20 years ago, I was ready to preach a sermon on forgiveness and had it all written out and everything, and then we got a call from a person who had influence in our life who just kind of basically tore a strip off us. And I had opportunity to practice what I was about to preach. Amen. So you got to know I've had opportunity these last couple of weeks to practice the word of God, and so do you. So here's some things that we learned last week, that we can't be passive when it comes to forgiveness. That it's an assertive, aggressive thing, that you will probably never feel like forgiving. And so you have to go after it aggressively. It's not an emotion. Forgiveness is an attitude, and we deal strongly with attitudes. We deal strongly with bad attitudes. Do not let yourself or your children away with bad attitudes. Give them a timeout, send them to the room. I remember hearing John Maxwell saying about his kids that he, when they had a bad attitude, he would send them to their room and say, when you're done, you can come down, but not until you're done. And I think that we need to deal aggressively and assertively with bad attitudes, because then they build up and they can become strongholds in our lives. It's not optional. Say it's not optional. Forgiveness isn't optional. You don't have a choice. You had a choice to receive Christ, and you received him, which means everything here. And so forgiving someone is not optional. It is required. Unforgiveness saps our energy, drains our resources, and steals our joy. Scripture says that we're delivered to the torturers when we don't forgive. We'll talk a little bit more about that this morning. Unforgiveness is a door that blocks the flow of the Holy Spirit and our release from bondage. When we hold unforgiveness in our heart, it's not a light thing. It's a door. It'll slam a door shut of the flow of the Holy Spirit and faith in your life. We also talked about it being a weapon, forgiveness as a weapon. I think sometimes we don't look at it as a weapon because we still think that it's just an emotion. But it's not an emotion. It's a weapon that Christ has given to us. Always remember when it comes to unforgiveness that the devil has a plan and a purpose for your life. We say that about Jesus when we're witnessing to someone. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But the devil also has a plan, a strategy, a purpose for your life. That's what Scripture tells us. And so whatever we try to break through, the devil challenges us on. Remember, he's territorial. He has a legal right to territory. As long as we hold unforgiveness in our heart, that gives the devil legal right to the territory that he's held. And so we need to recognize it for what it is. It's not an emotion. He has a tactic against you. And he challenges the things that we're learning. And so, for example, if someone comes and begins to learn about tithing, and they give in the offering, the challenge is going to be lack the next week. Usually not for a new believer. If you ever notice new believers, they just get away with like all kinds of stuff. And they just ask God for anything and bang, it happens, right? Have you ever noticed that about a new believer? Someone fresh in the Lord. But as we get older, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us on different, there's a different grace. It's not a lack of grace, but there's a different grace. And so when we learn about tithing, oftentimes the enemy will come and say, see, that didn't work. You gave in that offering. You see what you want to buy today? You see what you have to get? These groceries, nothing's on sale. The preacher said you'd be blessed, and that's not happening. And so we begin to withhold because of the challenge of the enemy. When it comes to prayer, praise, worship, the enemy withholds that. See, you went to prayer meeting last week, and all those things that you prayed about, nothing happened. So you might as well not even go anymore. What's the point of going, joining with others to pray? You might as well just stay home and pray by yourself, because there's absolutely no difference. And so the challenge comes when we don't see results. And what we have to go back on is my history with God. I know my history with God. Okay, so maybe it didn't work immediately this time, but thus saith the Lord. He reigns over my life. Hallelujah. My God reigns, and that's going to be my declaration. What about our devotion time, the time that we get up in the morning or before we go to bed at night and we break open the Word? He challenges our devotion time. He challenges that set time by oftentimes he gives us more work and more hours in a job, and we say, oh, I'm so blessed, as we run out the door. God, thank you for these hours that you've given me. I can make a bit more money. God, thank you for that. And so our church life lacks, our devotion life lacks. And we need to recognize that oftentimes it's the challenge of the enemy. And if it's the blessing of the Lord, remember, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. He adds no sorrow with it. So if it's the blessing of the Lord, then we have to find, how am I going to get around this? How am I still going to have my devotion? How am I still going to have my prayer time? So remember, when it comes to forgiving, the enemy will challenge you on that. Things got worse. I forgave that person, and things got worse. They didn't get better. What we need to recognize is that these things are a tactic of the enemy. And if we recognize that, I believe then we won't give in. But if we think, oh, well, it just happened. But if that warrior spirit rises up within me and I begin to recognize this is not just stuff happening, but this is, listen, church, the devil has a tactic and a strategy against you. Not just against unbelievers. But when you stepped into a relationship with Jesus Christ, all hell breaks out against you. I do not believe he can steal your salvation away, but he certainly can steal our testimony. And so we have to learn to hold fast to what the Word of God says. And when the challenges come, we stand, we draw a line and say, this is what God said. I talked with someone just last week who said to me, you know, I give all this, I do all this, and nothing happens. And I said, he's still God. He still deserves your worship and your praise. If nothing happens, he still is deserving of it. Where's my amen cue card? Right? He's still God. If we don't see him reigning over our life, it's still hallelujah, our God reigns. Because he said it. And if he's going to lie about that, then he's going to lie about your salvation. But God is not a liar. In fact, he can't even lie. He couldn't even lie if he tried. That seems so weird talking like that about God. But he's still God, even in the midst of our waiting for things to be produced in our life. Amen? So forgiveness is supernatural. Sometimes we say, I can't forgive. That's too big. I can't forgive. Yes, you can. You can't on your own, but you can because it's a supernatural act of God. It's not an emotion. You have to remember that. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. And God made and makes forgiveness possible. I can forgive because God forgave me. And when I catch a revelation of that, there's no hindrances to forgiving. When I can catch a revelation, is it only me? Is it only outlaw bikers and murderers and child molesters? Is it only those of us like that that think, wow, I have been forgiven so much? Sometimes we church people that have been brought up in church, we forget that we're sinners. And our sin separates us from God. What does that hymn writer say? My sin, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought. Go ahead. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Wow. My sin was nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Because of that, I'm forgiven. I can forgive you. So the reality of his forgiveness is what makes all that possible. And when we catch a revelation of that, not just a song, not just something we do on Sunday morning, but when we catch a revelation of my sin, I think we need to ask God to show us our sin. Show us, Lord. I mean, we watch movies about him being crucified, and we'll be inundated with that during the month of April of Easter. I pray that we'll get a fresh revelation of forgiveness, the gift that you and I have been given. So it's not natural, it's supernatural, and it is a requirement for us as Christians. Even if someone doesn't apologize and doesn't ask for forgiveness, it's still our responsibility to forgive. And when you don't forgive, remember, it binds you to the offense and binds you to the offender. It's like, if I don't forgive you, then it's kind of all I think about. When I go to bed at night, it wheels around in my mind. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. I think a lot of times we need to just forgive ourselves. God, I messed up on that. You prayed that this morning. Lord, forgive me for not. And we need to forgive ourselves for the things that we've done, the mistakes that we've made. It's not about who's right or who's wrong. We have to get that out of our equation. It's not whether you're right or whether you're wrong. It's not even whether you deserve forgiveness. Because none of us really deserve the grace that God pours upon us. Amen? And so don't think of it as much as letting someone off the hook, but I'm getting their hook out of me. When I forgive, I don't wonder where I'm going to see them. I don't think about conversations that go on. See, the thing about forgiveness, if someone offends me and I don't forgive them right away, because forgiveness can be right away, the minute that person offends me, I say, Lord, I forgive. I might walk away from the conversation, but my brain, my mouth says, Lord, I forgive. I don't have to say it, I forgive you. I just need to say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive Tammy for what she did. Lord, I forgive. And then it takes that hook out of me. I don't need to forgive you because you haven't done anything. But just as an illustration, right? Because we look around, we walk through this life, and here at church, things can offend us. They hurt us. They cause resentment in us. And I realize that if I don't forgive right away, then it stays in. But oftentimes, years, sometimes a lifetime goes by, doesn't it? And yet the wound is still there, but we kind of forget about it a little bit because we're so used to being in bondage. It's like the elephant, right? Tied to a stake, and it doesn't move because every time it tries to pull away, it realizes, oh, my leg is stuck there. Well, they take the rope off, and the elephant still doesn't go any further because it still thinks that rope is on. It's still in bondage. And it's the same for you and I. And so I might be looking at a bunch of people that are saying, well, I don't know. I don't really think I have anything to forgive. But I want to tell you, I can't get this subject out of my heart and my mind to talk to you about. I can't get away from it. I get up in the morning, I read my devotion, there it is. I got up this morning and read something else and thought, oh, I got to put that in my notes. You know, why didn't you tell me last night, you know? Because I can't get away from it. I just believe that God is digging away at us, digging away at things in our heart and in our spirit that just kind of says, okay, I've forgiven on the surface, but there's others and there's a greater depth. So never forget that unforgiveness binds you to the injustice. That's why we say things like, I can't forgive. My dad was an alcoholic. I will never forgive him for being an alcoholic. He ruined our family. A lot of times, unless there's forgiveness, that person grows up to be an alcoholic. He's just like his dad, just like those things that he's made an inner vow about. And so even though wounds go deep, we can choose to forgive. We can choose. It's a choice. If you kind of make eye contact with me and nod, I'll understand that you're getting it. If you don't get it, I'm going to hang here. We'll be here for weeks. But I need to know that you're getting it because it's important. It's the secret poison that the church drinks. It's the secret poison in most churches you go to. Maybe we are no exception, but it is a secret poison, the secret sin. We got to know it's a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. It's not just an emotion. I can't help it. They hurt me so bad. Why is that my fault? Jesus isn't talking about being your fault or their fault or anybody's fault. He's telling you to forgive. And we release that. And so remember, it binds us to the injustice. And so we come across people that haven't forgiven. We see their bondage in the midst of it. I shared with you last week about some things that I really felt in the area of deliverance that Angela and I have to stop and say, okay, we're not getting anywhere in this. Is there someone you need to forgive? And so you give that person just a little bit of time. I want you to think about it. Just be quiet before the Holy Spirit and allow him to speak into your life. And as those names come up, then we can say, oh, I was talking with someone just Friday, I was talking to someone and they mentioned someone's name and I was shocked at my response. I kind of flew off the handle a little bit, you know? And so just work with me as God's dealing with me. Maybe he's not dealing with you, but he's dealing with me on stuff. And I said, no, you know, they used to be such a good friend. And, blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, you sound kind of bitter. And, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, yeah, you're right. I do sound bitter. And I didn't know that. Honestly, I did not know it until that person mentioned their name. And so I had to back up and just out loud say, God, I forgive them. And then since then, I've just been claiming again, God, I forgive, I release all the hurts, all the wounds. Now, granted, some wounds and some hurts are bigger than others, aren't they? They cause a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. But I don't see God saying, if the hurt is on a scale of 1 to 2, then forgive. If it's a scale of 10 or over, then it really doesn't matter. God doesn't say that. He lumps it all in together and talks about you and I making the first move and being the forgiver. So if we are, forgiveness is a choice. It's not an emotion. It's a decision that we make. And if you choose not to forgive, then you're controlled by that choice that you just made. If you choose to forgive, then God's grace takes over. And we block the strategy of the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm all about blocking the strategy of the devil. I'm all about being obedient to the word so that the... Remember what Jesus said, you know, the enemy has no place in me. Well, I want to be able to say that about my life, that the devil has no place in me. No, you can't bring that up again because I've forgiven. And my emotions are going to follow. My emotions are going to come alongside afterward. So it's a decision that we make. We make it in prayer. And remember what we talked about last week. It's not about a silent prayer. You can't silently pray and forgive somebody. It has to, in prayer, it has to come out of your mouth. And so teach your children to forgive, those of you who have kids. Teach them. If they get angry with brothers, sisters, if they get angry with each other, if they get angry with you. I remember Jeff going up the stairs telling me, I hate you, because I brought discipline. And I would say, I love you, I forgive you. You know, and I learned early about forgiveness because I had a lot of people that wounded me. And even knew as a Christian, God was so faithful in my life to just nab me on these things. That's unforgiveness. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. And it's like, well, they do it and get away with it. You know, well, that's not my responsibility. That's their responsibility. And so we teach our kids, forget the little now I lay me down to sleep prayer. God, is there anybody who's really hurt me today? If there is, Lord, I forgive. Teach your kids forgiveness. Teach them to forgive. And so we make a decision. When we do that, we line up with God's will. We line up with his word. And the Holy Spirit is released by God inside our inner man. And he begins to change us. He brings the emotional response. It's like salvation. A lot of people who get saved don't really... it's not like some people go out and they want to hug a tree because they're, whoa, I'm saved. And it, in my first salvation experience, not that I got born again, but in the first instance, it was just a matter of fact, I just didn't want to go to hell and burn forever. And I prayed and received Christ into my life. But the second time I had so much junk and so much garbage when I recommitted, depending on what your theology is, I recommitted my life to the Lord. I felt like that. I felt like this weight lifted off me. And you know the story of how we went around and we threw out all our stuff that we had that was dishonoring to the Lord. We took it down to Hamilton Harbor and threw it out in the harbor and got rid of burned stuff, etc., etc. That was the tree-hugging experience. But I was still saved the first time I did it because I obeyed the word. And I said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life. And so once we choose, then emotions follow afterwards. But God is waiting for us to make a choice. So let's talk a bit about the other side of things. There are only two possibilities when it comes to forgiveness. When I'm the offender or when I'm the offended. Either way, the move's mine, not the other person. Never the other person. Do not wait for somebody else to come and ask you for forgiveness. You, Scripture talks about. And so remember, we're Christians. Say, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? That means I think differently. Pardon? Singing a song, okay. Oh, yes. So it means I think differently. Right? I don't think like the world anymore. I don't think like the old me anymore. I think differently. I act differently. I live differently because I'm a Christian. We live in a very watered down Christian world where kind of anything goes. I have liberty so I can do anything. I can exceed the speed limit. I can drink. I can party. I can do all these things. I'm a Christian, so I can do all those things. Scripture says that when we receive Christ as our Savior, we get a nature change. I exchange darkness for light. That means everything in my life changes. Not just hardcore sinners. Okay? I was a hardcore sinner. But so everything in my life changed. But what about those of us who have been brought up in church? What about our kids? Has everything in their life changed? Do they have a different mindset? Do they think differently, live differently? I do not understand some things that people say, I'm a Christian, and yet I read on Facebook, I see on Facebook, I hear their conversation, and I think, what's different about your life? Jesus makes a difference in my life. He does. Things change. Whether I'm on a job with a whole bunch of bad mouth construction workers, sorry, Brock, or truck drivers or whatever. Pastor Ace drove truck for years in his life, and they challenged him that he couldn't have a clean joke. All funny jokes are dirty. Well, not when you're a Christian. And so he had a clean joke every day of the week for I don't know how many weeks it was. I think they challenged him for a couple of months. And he always had a clean joke because we're Christians. I don't live the way other people live. I don't say what other people live. I don't watch what other people watch just for the sake of television. If it's what my old time Baptist lady used to say, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. We don't live like that anymore because we got this awesome freedom. But Jesus says, don't let your freedom cause you to sin. Okay, maybe enough about that. But we live differently. We've repented of our sin. We've changed direction of the way that I've walked. And so because we're Christians in the area of forgiveness and unforgiveness, I don't keep score. Right? Corinthians chapter 12. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Oh, how we like to keep records of wrongs. So, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Why don't you go ahead and turn there? Ephesians is an awesome book. This chapter needs your attention. Ephesians chapter 4. It's a great chapter. It's a great, great chapter. And so it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So there it is. There's the vertical and the horizontal. Christ has forgiven me, so now I can forgive other people. Do not say, I can't forgive. It's a lie from the pit of hell. You can forgive because you've been forgiven. And so the chapter is actually about putting off the old man. You remember that phrase in Scripture? Anybody remember that phrase in Scripture? Yeah, we put off the old man and we put on the new man. If you read Ephesians chapter 3 and 4, you'll find out that terminology in there. And so the old man is symbolic of the way I was. And the way of the way the world thinks, that's the old man. And then we put on new. If you've been water baptized, that's what we say as they go down into the water. You know, basically, we take off the old man alive to the new man, right? When we've been water baptized. Raised in newness of life. So scripture talks about the old man being dead, that we're dead to sin. So God forbid, but if someone was to come up here and drop dead right at the altar here, right on the floor, and was dead, you could do whatever you wanted to that body. You could nudge that body. You could pick it up. You could do anything you wanted, but it would not respond because it was dead, right? And so that's what Jesus says we're to be like with sin. When sin nudges and kicks us, oh, you shouldn't forgive. Why are you forgiving so quickly? That's the kick of the enemy, and we don't respond to that because I'm dead to sin. I'm raised in newness of life. Someone once said, yes, I know that I'm dead to sin, but the devil keeps giving me artificial respiration. And so that is true. We're different. You might as well settle it. You might as well believe it. Instead of trying to fit in with everybody else in the world, you might as well agree with God that you're different. You are peculiar. Not weird, peculiar. We are peculiar people. And so everything in our life should be different. And this is a great chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, worthy of your study. But if we were to back up just one verse, verse 30 in Ephesians 4, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And I think that I'm talking to a group of people that if you knew that you were doing something that grieved the Holy Spirit, you'd say, oh, I don't want to do that. When we hold unforgiveness in our heart, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And so Ephesians 4, those two verses, pretty much sums up everything about forgiveness. Let all bitterness, now remember what bitterness is? It's a pocket of pus. It's the poison of unforgiveness. And so let all bitterness be put away. Anger, I don't think I need to explain anger or wrath. Clamor, clamor is a protest or an outward cry. I'm not going to forgive them. Do you know what that person did to me? That's the clamor of unforgiveness. It's a protest. Put away all evil speaking. You know what? One thing I love so much about God is that he gives us a list of things that we're not supposed to do. And all that is well and good. But that kind of, it weighs on the negative. But then as we go on, he talks about the positive. And so we replace stuff. We replace the old stuff with the good stuff. He also says, put away all evil speaking. So I'm not going to talk about you. Oh, you know what that person did to me, how they offended me. I don't know. You better be careful. Sometimes we don't even say anything. It's just like we say, well, I don't know, but I'm not close with them. And then it's like, oh, that's kind of evil. That's the evil speaking. And then it says, put aside all malice. Do you know what malice is? It's wishing someone harm. So yeah, I forgive them, but I don't want them to prosper. I don't want them to be well. Why would I want that for them? Divorced people often go through this whole scenario. Do you know what that person did to me? Yeah, I forgive, but, and we have a big but in there. God doesn't have that. And we're Christians. We live and think differently. And so then he goes on to verse 32 and says what we are to do. So here's the, I don't know, here's the rub of it. Okay, I forgave last week as I sat here. The Holy Spirit brought to mind names and people that I should forgive. So I've forgiven. And so now we turn it around and we go, we're kind to one another. We're tender-hearted. Oh, it's an awful thing to be hard-hearted. You see people locked in unforgiveness, they're so hard-hearted. They're not even happy anymore. There's this outward superficial happiness, but there's this poke that, oh, you press that button. God will continue to press your buttons. so that you can see, oh my gosh, I've got such resentment in my heart. Just like he did that Friday afternoon with me. Press that button. Talked about that person a lot. I've mentioned that person. I've prayed for that person. I've texted that person. Can we get together? But something happened. It was any of you watch the movie Shrek? Have you seen Shrek? And how it's the donkey that, and Shrek, they talk about it being a layer thing. It's layers. Well, yeah, like an onion. That's pretty profound because that's what it is in our life. You know, things get peeled off a little at a time. And so we allow God to peel that off and then we think all is good and then up it comes again. It's not, oh, I never forgave. Okay, I'll give you another instance. When my mother-in-law committed suicide, I had to forgive. I forgive because in the natural, it destroyed our family. You know, one of the kids had to go live with somebody else, couldn't even live at the house. I couldn't go in the house when it was dark. And I pinned all that. Why would you do that? We gave everything up to move in with you, locked in depression she was, to move in with you and to see if we could bring the Holy Spirit to set you free, get you going back to church, get you released from Freemasonry, all that kind of stuff. And we gave up our home here, we moved into a home here, and it was a blessing until one day you find that person has committed suicide in the garage. And so all of these things happen. And so I know about forgiveness. And so I would say, God, I forgive her for doing that. And then it would be okay. And then a little while later, you'd see something happening in one of your kids. You'd pick up a piece of jewelry. And all it did was bring bitterness and resentment and saying, oh my gosh, what a beautiful ring. You'd say, yeah, she didn't think much of us, did she? And so you'd be like, oh Jesus, that's unforgiveness, Lord. And so it was like this layer thing that God just kept peeling off and peeling off of me. And God does things in layers. He peels stuff off us because if he just opened up the whole wound right at first, we wouldn't know what to do with that. It would destroy us. And so we allow the Holy Spirit to do that layer thing and we respond to the Holy Spirit. We sang about the Holy Spirit and how I want to hear your voice. It's just your voice I want to hear. Listen, you're singing that to God. It's an awesome song. It's got such a huge anointing on it. But you're saying to God, I just want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice, Holy Spirit. So he says, okay, I'm going to talk. And I'm going to tell you that you got some unforgiveness here. But we close that off and say, no, I don't want to hear that. Because I have a right. Listen, when you're a Christian, you don't have any rights. You've given all your rights to Jesus. All I have belongs to you, Lord. That means your rights. I don't have a right to hold unforgiveness in my heart. I don't have any rights. I don't have a right to my own money. I don't have a right to my own this or my own that. I laid all that down when I received Christ as my Savior. That's Christianity. That's not hardcore Christianity. That's just Christianity. That's just 101. Just 101. And so, bitterness, anger, malice, wishing harm. What we are to do is to show kindness to one another, tenderness, forgiving each other, just as God, forgiving one another. Well, when I go to the Lord and say something to God about my needs or my wants, he doesn't say, oh, I'm going to do that a little later because I'm still working through the forgiveness process. Just as God, that's how we're to forgive, just as God forgave. Does not mean I don't set up boundaries. Doesn't mean that if you keep hurting me and keep wounding me, then I'm setting this boundary up in my life. And I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm going to forgive just as Christ did. And so let's talk about when you are the offender. Matthew 5, 23-24. If you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, And then come and present your offering. So that's when I'm the offender. Have I offended you?
Yeah.
I've offended you. So then if I've offended you, I don't even want to know what I've done. When we work together, I offend you.
Yeah.
I think you have a bit of an attitude here. Okay, so if I've offended you, then what needs to happen? I've offended you. Do you need to come to me?
No.
No.
You offended me, so I think you should come to me.
Okay, so I'll come to you now, right, in this public situation here, and say, Rebecca, will you forgive me for offending you?
I'm not there yet.
You're not there yet?
No.
So when will you get there?
I don't know.
Can we still work together? Will you still pay me?
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, that's difficult. When someone doesn't receive your apology. And notice I didn't say, I'm sorry, I apologize. I am sorry and apologize. But will you please forgive me? You're not there yet. So what do you do? Okay, that was a role play, okay? I haven't really offended Rebecca. Good. Right? You were all pretty worried, weren't you? Where are we going from here? Let's sing or pass the offering or something. Okay, so what happens when, first of all, I've offended Rebecca? Or even one of you. Maybe if we did it, you wouldn't be role-playing. But if I've offended, sometimes I don't even know, right? We don't even know that we've offended. Here's what happened to me a long time ago. A young man, his name was John, I'll call him John, came, him and his wife started coming. She wasn't saved. But I started to have influence in her life, and I invited her on retreats that we went on and stuff like that. And I tried to witness and get her saved. And she started coming to church, et cetera, et cetera. And then she backed right off, and I never knew why. As far as I thought, I was kind to her and tried, you know, to contact her afterwards, et cetera, et cetera. And one day, John shows up at my door and says, "Can I come in and chat with you?" And I'm like, sure. So in he comes, he sits down, and he says, "I want you to know that I forgive you." "You forgive moi?" And I said, "Oh, really?" "Yes," he said, "because I really thought that you were going to take my wife under your wing, et cetera, et cetera, but you never did that. You backed off, and so I want you to know that I forgive you." Well, what am I to do with that? Because I don't think that's the right way to do things. I don't find that scriptural. He could have come and said, "You've really offended me." He never ever said, "I forgive you for that." He never said that. He could have come and said, "You've really offended me." And hopefully my heart would have been, and hopefully your heart is not like Rebecca's. But listen, sometimes it takes a person time to work through the wound. And we have to realize that. The fact that she doesn't forgive me is her responsibility. I can't do anything about that. Scripture says, if you've offended someone, you go to that person and you ask for their forgiveness. So where I have offended you, I don't apologize. I don't say I'm sorry. Only, you cannot stop there. You have to lay it on the other person so they can say the words, "I forgive you." So, if I've forgiven you, if I've offended you and you are not prepared to forgive me for that, I hope that we can work through it, and I hope that one day that you really can find it in your heart to forgive. I do not lay scripture on her as another Christian person and say, "Well, here's what the Bible says. You need to forgive me. I just heard two sermons on forgiveness, and you better forgive me, or God's going to deliver you to the tormentors." not your responsibility. What is it we say? Not your circus, not your monkey. So, not your responsibility. The responsibility is where I've offended you and I know about it. I go to you and I say, please forgive me. Now, here's the scenario, okay? Here's the picture. A person, because what we find in the New Testament, Jesus relates it to the Old Testament, what the Hebrew and the Jewish people would have known. So, culture back then, Jewish people would come and they would bring their offering to the Lord because I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray. And so, Lord, here's my offering. Cleanse me. Make me clean so that I can talk with you. Not so I can go into service. So if you've brought your gift this morning, your tithes and offering and your service gifts and your gifts, and this morning you've remembered I've offended somebody, it does not mean I get up, I leave the church, and I go. What they're saying here, the Holy Spirit might convict you to do that, but I don't, based on what this is saying, it's if I'm coming to the Father and I'm going to come and I'm just going to have my devotions, I'm going to have my prayer time, and the Holy Spirit reminds me, oh, I offended somebody. I know I said something wrong to Rebecca when we were painting, Lord. Then I get up. I go, face to face is always better. When it comes to forgiveness, let me lay it on you hard. No texting. Phone call, maybe. They've got to hear your voice. They've got to see your eyes. They've got to know that you're really saying, forgive me. Right? It's too easy to text. Let you off the hook. Not today, church. Not today. We're not letting you off the hook today. If you've offended someone, you go to them. And so he says, there are four things that we have to do. I'm kneeling in prayer. I'm about to come into my private time with the Lord. And I remember I've offended somebody. I stop right then and there. I stop. And then after I stop, I go to that person. When you've offended somebody, it's never just between you and God. I know I've offended Rebecca. I cannot say, God, forgive me, I've offended Rebecca. I say that, but it can't stay there. Are you with me? Yeah. Are you with the scripture more better? It can't just stay there. Bible doesn't say pray and leave it with the Lord. No, he says you go, you stop first of all what you're doing. You go, you repent to that person. Where's my four things? And you be reconciled. And then you return and bring your gift to the Lord. Present your offering. It's humbling, isn't it? Hello? It's humbling, isn't it? Sorry, but I put a lot of work in this. You can't fall asleep on me. It's humbling. A month or so ago, I said something on text that offended someone. I tried to apologize and repent. I'm sorry, that's not what I meant. Silence on the other end. Back at me. So I got in my car and I drove for 40 minutes bawling the whole way. Oh my God, I did not mean to offend that person. I'm so sorry. Why did I say what I said? Forgive me, Jesus. It was about 10:30 at night. Sat in the driveway, beeped the horn. No response. All the lights were out. Picked up the phone. Can you come down? I'm in your driveway. What? Down they came, sat in the car, repented. Sorry for what I said. Really was out of line. Please forgive me. Of course I forgive you. See, it was to them, they said, it's nothing. It's not a big deal. And it's like, not a big deal. I drove for 45 minutes. I could hardly see. I was crying so hard. It was a big deal to me because I'm a Christian. And the Holy Ghost lives inside of me and says, that's not good enough. Apologizing over text is not good enough. If you never see that person, listen, if that person is dead, you remember David, how he sinned against Bathsheba, sent her husband out on the front line, had him murdered? It wasn't good enough that he repented before God. Nathan came in, the prophet, and said, you know, here's the story. And so David verbally, out loud, repented towards the prophet. And so the person that you hold unforgiveness to might even be dead. You can't go to their gravestone and sit there and say it to them. You need to find somebody that you can go to and say, listen, I've held such resentment toward my parent for so long. They're dead now and I can't ask forgiveness, but I want you to know verbally. It's got to come out of our mouth because it's a weapon of warfare. And the devil can't read your mind, but he can hear what you say. And if you keep saying, I can't forgive, they did this, they didn't, rah, 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 we keep saying that. Those kind of words attract, your words attract spirits. And so if I'm constantly complaining and, oh, they did this, they did that, have I said it enough? Seriously, have I said it enough? We verbally say, I forgive. If I'm driving alone in my car, I say, I forgive. Lord, I forgive so-and-so. Forgive me. Now you, God, forgive me for the judgment. I made a judgment against that person. Forgive me for that. Forgive me, Jesus. And so we stop. We go to the person. We reconcile, which reconcile means to alter or change in the original language. But then it has a verb attached to it. That means that is the word through. And so in other words, it's a process that we go through. We don't like the process. We want forgiveness right away from someone, you know, and vice versa. But it's oftentimes a process, especially when the wound is deep. And I am not making light and saying, well, just forgive. Just forgive. Now, I'm not making light of your wounds, your hurts. Because they're hard, they're deep, they've cut deep. But Scripture says if we don't forgive, we are given over to the tormentors or the torturers. Would you say that's true? Say it out loud. It's true. Because in first, I look at that verse and just say, wow, God. Here's a picture we read in Scripture. Here's a picture of forgiving. And yet, you say that, you know, you remember the money that was owed to him, $1 million. He went after somebody who owed him $20. And the king said, you know, I'm delivering you to the tormentors. I'm delivering you to the torment, to the torturers. And so we can think, okay, so God is the king and we relate to all that parable, right? And so if God is the king, God, how is a loving, caring God going to deliver me to the torturers? And so therein lies the problem. We don't believe that because God is a great, awesome, benevolent, loving, kind Father. But it's His Word. And God will do anything that interferes with His love for you and your love for Him. He will even deliver you to the tormentors. Sickness, depression, poverty, depression, all those things that torment us. It's tough. It's a tough thing to read, isn't it? But it's right. It's what God says. And so, first of all, because it's a strong day for me, I want to say that if you don't forgive, you're a hypocrite. You're saying one thing and believing something else. Or you're believing one thing and doing something else. And that makes you and me a hypocrite. And so you see what I've done for you. You can thank me later. What I've done for you is I've taken away I didn't know. I've taken that away. You can no longer stand before God and say, I didn't know. Nobody told me I had to forgive. I've taken that away from you this morning. God's taken that away because it interferes with the flow of the Holy Spirit, with your faith. It interferes with how He can love you and how He can bless you, and God will go after that. Because He loves you too much just to leave you the way you are. If you love somebody, you will, And they are extremely wrong, going down, they're in a burning building, and they're going to die. You do not stand outside and say, well, I don't know. You're going to go in, you're going to run in, you're going to grab them, even though they may not want to be grabbed. And that's what God is doing when he says, deliver to the tormentors. It's not cruel and unloving. He interferes with whatever is interfering with your love for him. Remember, forgiveness is not passive. It's aggressive. We sang it. He is jealous for me. Yeah, he is. Yep. He's downright jealous for you, or as Gerda would say, right down jealous. He's jealous for you, and he's not going to let you get away with stuff. We don't let, hopefully, if you love your kids enough, you're not going to let them get away with stuff, even if it hurts. I don't like sending kids to their room. I don't like speaking sternly to them. It's going to save your life. I'm not going to say, oh, honey, don't run out in front of that car. You're going to grab them and yank them back, right? Do you understand? Because I don't want you to get a one-sided impression of God. Deliver me to the tormentors? That can't be God that does that. Yeah, it is, he says. Okay, torment, the Greek word for torment is great pain. In Matthew 8, verse 6. Agony, like the man in hell, Luke 16, 23. Like Lot is talked about in 2 Peter 2 and 8. Surrounded and oppressed by the conduct of unprincipled people. All those are the same words for tormentors. So if we harbor grudges and bitterness, feelings toward each other, we will be turned over to the torturers. What a horrible consequence for the sin of unforgiveness. But while cheers go up from the congregation, there's good news. Because there's freedom in forgiveness. It's freedom as I forgive. You were given a free gift by the King. Now it's your responsibility to give that free gift away. Number one, decide to forgive. It's a choice. Number two, depend on the Holy Spirit. Can't do this. Holy Spirit, this hurts way too much. I can't do it. I can't forgive. I can't give forgiveness. I can't be forgiven. I depend on you, Holy Spirit. Because, hallelujah, our God reigns. And obey the word of God. Once you forgive, okay, Father, I forgive Susie Q for doing this. I forgive, I release. Now, Father, I bless. Because that's what Scripture says. I show kindness. Someone said to me once, oh, I know who it was. It was a situation Eddie Smith said to me. A person who I had apparently offended, and I did offend them because I brought correction, said, well, who goes first? And Eddie Smith said, the one who loves Jesus the most. Wow. It's always our responsibility. So we obey the word. We pray for them. Once you start praying for someone that you've had unforgiveness towards, your thought life, your emotions change. And we bless them. Send them some flowers. I was thinking of you today. Just wanted to bless you. And then focus on the forgiveness of God. Don't hurry through it. The forgiveness of God. When we have communion, when we sing songs about what Christ has done. You know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All the things that we sing about. Let's not hurry through that, but let's just wait and allow the Holy Spirit time and room to move in our lives and our thought life. So we need to deal aggressively and honestly with the resentment that we might have. Again, remember to verbally name the person and forgive them. And remember, it starts with your choice and it starts with what we base on what Christ has done for me. Psalm 103. You can turn there if you have your scriptures or look it up on your device. I'm going to read the whole psalm. You can just listen or you can read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes righteous and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. We sang a song this morning, I forget what one it was, but it had the word abound in. And whenever I think of that word abounding, I think of a basset hound that we used to have, and that basset hound would bound up to you, ears flopping, because their bodies are long, his back end was always out of control, could never control where it was going, but he bounded up to me when I walked into the room. That's how the Lord is with us when we forgive. He bounds toward us. He doesn't stand back and say, okay, well, that's really good, I'm glad you forgave. No, causes him to react in that matter. He's abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. Bless the Lord, you who excel in strength and who do his word, listening, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all of you. He forgives all my iniquities, all my diseases, who heals all my diseases. Sounds like the torture to me. And so when we are forgiven by God, we are released from some things. And when we forgive from others, when we forgive others, we're released and we release them as well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word this morning, Lord God. Thanks for forgiving us. So grateful for your cross, Lord. So grateful that you don't withhold any part of your love. You don't withhold that, Lord. So, Father, I just believe that you've been working in all of our lives, not just my own, not just on little surface things, but Holy Spirit, I believe that you want to go just a bit deeper in the area of forgiveness for our lives. Father, we don't want to withhold forgiveness. We want to be reconciled. We want to be the one that if that person has something against me, I go to them. Not just if I've offended them. Father, help us to be obedient to your word. Wow, God, it will release so much grace and so much love. So, Father, we're not going to stand back and wait for somebody to forgive me. We're going to go and we're going to ask forgiveness. We don't have to name anything that we've done. We're just going to say, I've offended you for some reason and I ask your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? God, we ask reconciliation between husband and wives. We ask reconciliation between moms and dads and kids, because our kids get offended too, Lord. Father, we ask reconciliation between families that maybe don't even live in the same country as us. We ask for reconciliation. Because, Father, until we ask, until we say those words, we don't even have any right to say this prayer, according to what I read this morning. I don't have any right, I don't have any authority to come to you in prayer unless I go and be reconciled. And Father, I know there are people here that are hurting and that need to be reconciled, and I pray that you give them a plan. Forgive us, Lord, when we've not understood. Forgive us when we've held grudges. Forgive us when we've been hurt and we've nursed that hurt. Father, we say with our mouth that we forgive them, Lord. We forgive. We forgive. We forgive. It's not an emotion. It's an act of my will. We forgive. We forgive. Teach us how to set up boundaries, right kind of boundaries, Lord, but not boundaries of unforgiveness. Just boundaries. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your grace upon our lives. We bring our gift to you. We worship you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. God, we recognize that these things aren't easy to do. But it takes a humbling. And you say you give grace to the humble. And so perhaps this week, this month, as we humble ourselves before each other and ask forgiveness, that we'll get your grace, your incredible, powerful grace. We thank you, Lord. Because I'm forgiven. Say it with me, church. I can forgive. I can forgive. Because I'm forgiven. Say it. Say it. I can forgive. Yes, it's possible. Thank you. Let's stand and worship the Lord with this song.
Because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted.